What about us? Are we going to get sophisticated? What about us having a look at ourselves for 2024 and maybe coming up yet again with more resolutions, which we'll probably not fulfil and ignore in 2024? But anyway, let's talk to Joanna Fortune, our favourite psychotherapist and attachment specialist, who's here with us. Joanna, good morning.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning. Is it a joke, these resolutions?
Well, you know, I think it depends on the mindset we approach them in. I think too often, Declan, that we approach New Year's resolution in a deprivation mindset. I'm going to give up. I'm going to stop. I'm going to cut out. And I don't think that's good as a motivational factor for most of us, this idea of I can't have, because it's a bit like, you know, that old line, don't think of an elephant. It's the only thing you're thinking of when you're like, better not have it, better not have it. If you were to think about your New Year's resolutions in terms of what would you take up and start doing and bring into your life, I think you're more likely to deliver on those because you're thinking about adding and really giving back to yourself. And that's when a New Year's resolution works. But it's also a little bit more than that. I look at the big ones that we do, the ones, I mean, you know, I was in the gym yesterday and it was packed, like absolutely packed. And of course it is because it's January, because that's one of the big ones, isn't it? We're going to go to the gym and we're going to do all these things. But they tend to be really big, grandiose commitments we're making. And if you haven't been to the gym, and this is no judgment, there's many of us in this bracket, in 6 to 9 months, deciding January 1st, I'm going to go 4 days a week, that is a massive leap to do. And that's going to be really hard to sustain.
You open up the door the house and suddenly the cold winter breeze comes in.
Exactly.
Do you know what? I'll leave it.
In the darkest, wettest month. And you know, if we were to look at our animal friends in the world, you know, this is a month of hibernation and taking it slow and embracing rest and recuperation. And it's okay to give yourself that. That's one of my own commitments in terms of a New Year's resolution, is to make and take time for more rest this year. You know, I think I've been moving at a frenetic pace and that's not a good thing. So I think it's okay to say, well, I won't do it in January. And on that, I think when we come into New Year's resolutions, there are stages. Like with any change in our life, there's a pre-contemplation where we're beginning to become aware a change is warranted or a change is necessary. And then we enter a contemplation where we're thinking about what that change will be, what it will feel like, what it will look like. Then we move into planning. We prepare for that change in our lives. And only then do we move to action, enacting it, bringing it to life. And the final stage is about maintenance. The people who make their New Year's resolutions really work for them tend to be at the action stage when they're coming into the new year. If you're at a contemplation stage, you've got to phase this down, that you're not going to have dropped 2 dress sizes by February. That's just unrealistic and very cruel on yourself. But if you were to say, by February, I will have moved from thinking about this to planning for it. And by Easter, I will have moved from planning to action, and I will spend 3 months embedding that action so that by the end of this year, I'll have a maintenance plan around that change. So your New Year's resolution is a 12-month plan, not a 6-week plan.
Okay. That too, what they say about, you know, how would you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time.
Exactly. And I think it's also about, why does this change matter to you? Because those are the ones that you're going to be able to stick with. Don't make generic, vague, abstract, generalized commitments. I think it's much better that if you really wanted to focus on fitness because it's the biggest one we'll do, maybe the commitment you make is to finding something that sparks joy for you, finding something fun that you enjoy. Even if it's dancing around your kitchen, you're going to do it every single day. That's your commitment. That's movement. Making a commitment to more time outdoors because it has holistic benefits. It's not just physical, but it also has benefits for our mental health and well-being. Giving back to others is one that we often are more successful with, because when our commitment is to other people over ourselves, we have a greater degree of I can't let others down. So volunteering is one that is, it also gives back to us.
If you're moving stuff into your life, presumably to make room for a lot of this, you've got to move things out of your life.
Yes, you do. I mean, I think, yeah, that's right, because instead of adding, and there's only so much a cup can hold, right, before it overflows. But it's about prioritization, isn't it? It's about saying, well, if this is really important to me, that's what I'm going to focus on and give time to. And there will be things that if I was to, it, almost like doing a stop, start, keep approach, I'm going to stop doing the things that are not working for me in my life, or not sparking joy, or not giving back to me, or just working against me. I'm going to stop doing those. I'm going to keep doing the things that I know work for me, because there are things that we're doing that are working. We're all functioning, so something is working. And I'm going to start doing one new thing at a time. So that kind of stop, start, keep is a really good way to check in with yourself.
Right. Okay. Keeping it up after the several weeks. Mm. Okay.
The maintenance planning.
I've made the start. And my intention was every day, or maybe every second day, and then it slips, and then it slips again, and then it's to get back on the treadmill to do it.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I think if you do small actionable items, so tasks, so something that isn't about, like you just said there, I'm going to do it every day. I think that's a huge commitment when you're straight out of the gates, you know. I think if you were to say twice a week, I'm going to do this thing. And, you know, think about things that are not all about just the body, but about our holistic well-being and selves. Think about things that you used to do, even if your mind has to go back to when you were younger, way younger for some of us, okay? And what you loved doing as a child. Could you take that back up? If you loved art, find an art class. If you loved, you know, drama and acting, join an amateur local community group. Like, do something that is, I know this is good for me. I know I feel good in this environment. It's also connecting you with like-minded people who have shared interests. That's going to help you. I think joining a group or a club that puts you in with others, there's shared accountability in that. It's easier to maintain those actions.
We'll be touching on, say, other things throughout the week, you know, plans for 2024. But one of them could be change a job or even change of relationship. I mean, there's those.
They're big changes. Things. Yes, yeah. They're big. And those are big, you know, they have big impact on your life in general. And you don't rush that. You know, if you're making a significant life change, I imagine that is something that if you're coming into the new year with that in your mind, you're very much at the planning or action stage of the process, because you've been contemplating that for a while. That's not a whimsical decision to leave a job or to leave a relationship or make a big life change in that way. So if you are, take your time with it. The planning stage is really important. How will I do this? What's the best way to start it? How long will it take? And what other supports do I need to bring into my life? You know, if it's the job, when's the last time I updated my resume? Do I need to link in with a recruiter? Somebody, if I haven't done a job interview in years, maybe I need to book a session with somebody who can give me some skills, update me on what is an interview like these days, because it won't be the same as it was 5, 6, 7 years ago. So taking those actionable steps leading up to the job change to make sure that not only are you changing job, it's not just about what are you leaving, it's what are you going to, that the job you're identifying for you next is the right one for you, and it's a good move for you.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you have to start at the end. So, you know, I've spoken to people in the past, they talk about decluttering, we'll say.
Yeah.
Oh, the house is a mess. It's just
I could
full
do
of
that
junk.
Myself, yeah.
and it's they're sort of starting in their head of, I need to get it all out.
Yeah.
And I was sort of thinking, would you start at the other end and say, where's it all going to go?
I totally agree. You know? And I think it is often that we focus on the end result at the beginning. I want it done. I just want this done. But actually to get to that state, that's the outcome, not the process. To get to that, you have to start with, where will I start? And what you said, where am I putting these items? What's donatable? And genuinely good quality, good use. Don't donate rubbish. That's just so disrespectful to the groups that have to process that and the people you have in mind for receiving it. But there are places that will willingly take your unwanted items that are, you know, fixed and in working order. What needs to be recycled? What cannot be? And how do I appropriately dispose of it? I would say, Declan, if you're looking at a big declutter job, and as I said, I really do relate to this, when you start one room at a time. And if the room is a very cluttered room, you start in one area of that room at a time. And you say, this week, I will tackle this section. This week, I will tackle the children's toys. This next week, I will tackle all of the books. Whatever it might be, you do it in step by step. And I think the best way to do that is to structure it into a written step by step plan. So by the end of January, I will have achieved this mini goal along the way to the bigger goal.
Right. What about this figure? According to Forbes Health, 8% of people stick with their New Year's resolutions beyond January.
I mean, I think that's nearly better than I thought it was going to be, if I'm honest with you. I think every one of us can listen and relate to making a commitment that we didn't see through. And do you know why? It wasn't the right commitment. We weren't ready for the change. We hadn't done those stages I've mentioned about thinking about it and planning for it before action. And we didn't really weigh up, why does this change matter to me? Not just, well, that's the one everyone does, so I'll get behind that too. I think when you select rather than collect these commitments and you break it down and you plan for it, then it's something you can integrate and embed easily into your life. Those are the 8%. That's what's working.
Okay. Good to talk to you, Joanna.
Thank you so much.
Any resolutions for yourself?
I'm going to make a commitment to more rest, which means doing less. That's a big effort for me. I'm wired to keep going. So that's a big one. And now that we've been talking about that decluttering, I might take something on. I might. That's a very... See, I'm not there yet. I'm not quite ready for that one.
You're contemplating.
But make it fun. You know, find something fun that you can add to your life, because when it's fun, you will embed it.
Joanna Fortune, psychotherapist and attachment specialist.